Now, what a journey the children of Israel had. Eh? They faced, how many years they were in the wilderness? 40 years. And how many years they actually were in the wilderness besides the, you know, the base of Mount Sinai? 38 years. And here it is, you know, with their disobedience. A short journey take them so long because of their unbelief. And all the promises that the Lord made to them, even to this generation of today, they still unbelief. They still don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is God Almighty. And that's what we face with, even in our lives today. When we look at the world today, we see so much of destruction, so much of people doubting that there is a God. And they choose images to show themselves that this is their God. But could their God save? Their God has no power. They can't cry out and say, Lord, save me. They can't cry out and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that's where we stand with that hope and the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of our belief, you know, that he is our Savior. Because if he was not our Savior, we wouldn't be in here. We would be what? Right? Friday night. Let's go and party. That's what we did doing. Hey, I didn't think none of our liquor party more than me, you know. Mark, no, when Carnival time comes, it's a whole month of partying. Anyhow, we ain't going to talk about that. But I want to go back a little bit, right? You guys were in 33 last week, right? I would just want to touch on a couple of things. Go to chapter 33, verse 50. And we'll pick it up from here. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by journey across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. Dear, every one inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. What does that remind you of? Did the children of Israel, were they obedient to what the Lord has commanded them to do? To drive out all the inhabitants? Because you cannot dwell. First of all, good cannot dwell with evil. They were evil and they were wicked Canaanites. And the Lord instructed the children of Israel to drive them out completely. It's just like when we look at Joshua and Caleb, when they were spying, what did the 10 spies came back with? Oh, there were giants in the land there, you know what I mean? And they did not give a true report. So what they were doing, they were saying to the Lord, Lord, you can't get rid of those giants. You know, I put you on that test. Who could test the Lord? The Lord is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created everything. So he could do whatever he pleased. But because of their disobedience and their unbelief, they did not drive the inhabitants. And I want you guys, because we're going now to present age, right? When we look at the world today, there's a lot of the Muslims. The Muslim population in the world today is about 1.8, 1.9 billion people. That's the population, right? They are the second largest group of people. Christianity is number one. The Muslims is number two. And then followed by, I wonder if you know, who is number three? Jews? No. Hindus. Hindus are number three. So what we're seeing is that it is predicted that in America, the Muslims are the third largest religious organization in America. In the year 2050, Muslims will take over the entire world. They will be number one in America. And just as the Bible talks about what happened here with the children of Israel, is the same thing will happen in America. Because when you look at America today, it's the first time in 2006, there was the first Muslim person in Congress. Now we have what? Three Muslims. The next election, we might have five. The following elections, we might have 20. And that's how they're growing. There's a book when I was doing when I was studying back in Trinidad, She Stoops to Conquer. And if you guys could get a hold of that book, you'll understand what I'm saying. The Muslim population or the Muslim people will eat bread and water to multiply themselves so that they will be able to overthrow the Christians. And that's their intent. So what we're seeing here, just as what we read, you understand? But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Who is the thorns right now in America's side? The Muslims. They are the thorns in our sides right now. Why? Because we are allowing them. We are allowing them to come in. We are allowing them to multiply. We are allowing them to be in Congress. We are allowing them to partake in all the things that is there. And that's why they are torn in our sides now. That's why they could get up and say, you know what I mean, that, you know, down with America. That's why they could do all these things now and get away with it. Because that is what the Bible has predicted, and that is what is happening in our generation today. Not only in America, we see it in Trinidad, because the population of Trinidad right now, Trinidad was a Christian community. Right now, the Hindus are 42%. They are ruling the country. 42% of the population of Trinidad and Tobago is Hindus. And when you see these things happening throughout the world, look at France. Look at how France has been overridden by the Muslims. Look at England. England is no longer called a Christian community. And we've seen it all over the world today. That's why it has so much a chaos that is taking place in the world. Because they are torn in our sides as Christians. Because it's to conquer, to stoop and conquer our nation and the nations of the world. Because what? Because of hatred. Don't matter how nice a Muslim could be to you. They will hate you. Not all Muslims like that. Eh? Mind you, not all Muslims like that. Very nice Muslims. It's the same thing likewise with Christians. There's a lot of good Christians and there's a lot of bad Christians. You know? Likewise. But they have one intention. And that one intention is to conquer. So, this is a warning. The Lord is warning us. You see, God is fair. God is just. And he will do what is right. In Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows that's his handiwork. In Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Isn't that one of the questions that a lot of people ask? You know, how could, you know, the gospel reach all these people in the jungle and so on? Hey, God attributes has already existed to show each and every one, wherever they are, that God is dear, that God is real. You know? So, understand this. That when the Lord say these promises, when he say it in his words, it will always come to pass. And what is the major problem that we exist today? We need to deal with sin in our lives. We need to deal with it. And one thing, as you guys know, what does it do? It come back and it bites you if you don't deal with it, right? We all know that. We all go through that in our lives. Whether we like it or not. 1 John 1:9 says we confess our sins is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't matter what you do. If you know your heart is right and you have a closer relationship with Christ, the things that affect you in your life, that you could go to him and say, Lord, help me in this moment, Lord. I want to do wrong. But Lord, it's only through you could bring me out of it. And he will bring you out of it. Many times you'll send somebody, you know, that you'll say, man, it had to be God. How does this person know what I'm going through? The person didn't know, but it's the Lord who sent that person to comfort you, you know, in a time of distress, in a time of turning away, you know, from the Lord. So we had to learn to deal with it. That's why we had to confess our sins each and every day in our lives. Now, mind you, I'm not getting back to the Muslims. I'm not saying that you had to go out there and to hate them. You're supposed to love each one, right? Because there's two of the greatest commandments in the world: love God, love others, right? In spite of what they might think of you, you're supposed to love them because we serve a God of love. We serve a God of compassion. We serve a God who is fair, who is honest. And that's who we represent. That's why, guys, I want to caution you. You can't lie and get away with it. There's no way you could lie and say, you know what I mean, that you would get away with it. Because everything in your closet that is hidden will come to life. You know, that's why we need to be honest with ourselves and with our God and with others. It will help us. It's hard, but it will help us. We have to come to terms, you know, in our lives, in the things that we see and the things that we do. You know, when you look at it, you're not here. And I think many of you hear me say this many times. You're not here because of this program. If you hear about this program, you'll always fail. You hear because you want to have a closer relationship with Christ. That's why you hear. It's not about the program. Many of you here will complain about the program ain't good. You know? Oh, they don't feed me. I ain't getting enough food. Oh, man, they're having me like a slave driver. I'll be working out. Oh, that hole out there. Oh, man, I tired digging hole. And you complain and you complain and you complain. But the real reason is that because of your disobedience cause you to doing wrong, that you need to get a right relationship with Christ. So don't blame the hole. I could tell you, Mark blamed many holes in Trinidad because I think he dig more hole than any one of you guys here put together. I like that, amen. So let's get into the chapter now. Praise the Lord. Chapter 34. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now this is a continuation of what it, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you, as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. So here it is that the Lord is now going to divide the land into the tribes. You know, give one based on the number of people in their tribe, their inheritance. You know, it's really amazing. You know, everything that is written here in God's word, that here it is, he instruct and he command, you know, Moses, he command Aaron, he command all Eleazar, Joshua, he commanded all the leaders of what they must do. They didn't have to think for themselves. The Lord is the one who directed their path. What about us today? Who directs our path today? Let me see if all you know. Who is the one who directed our path today? I think I phrased it wrong. But anyhow, this is what guides us today. This is our basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the source we turn to for direction, for correction, for reproof. Everything that we need is right here in the Bible. Everything that you want to know about Jesus is right here in the Bible. And everything that you want to know about yourself is right here in the Bible. So then why go to other sources to know the truth? Why go to the tarot reader? Why go to the Obeah man? Why go to all these witchcraft people? Especially the one that causes your eyes to sparkle. Why go to all these substances to want to know the truth when the truth is right here facing you? And all you have to do is to read. All you have to do is to pray. And all you have to do is to understand. That's all it takes. You never notice something with a child growing up? It is easier for a child to understand the truth than for an adult to understand. You know why? Because of sin. They are innocent. But we know we are knucklehead. According to Mark, we are tutumbe. That's a local Trinidad language. Only I and Mark could understand that. Because I just call him that all the time. But that's who we are. I'm one of the biggest knuckleheads you will find. And still disobedient. We all are, right? Is anybody here righteous? But it seems like if a lot of you guys here are righteous, all in saying, yeah. We all are sinners. We all. Every one of us. There's only one righteous that ever lived. That is Jesus Christ. You know that? Because I am sure as soon as this message finishes here tonight and somebody say anything to you, the first thing you mightn't say it out of your mouth, but the first thing in your mind, you might be cursing them. Right? Come on, we ought to be real. We ought to be real with ourselves. Like you'll watch somebody like Trinity and say, oh God, what a knucklehead he is. And man, sometimes I can knock his brains out. Huh? I see, I get some amen there. But guess what? When you say that, you sin. Because you know that's murder in your mind. You know? Sometimes, hey, the person who get me more angry than anybody else, all you know that person. He's sitting right here in the front. I had a deal with this individual for 3 years in Trinidad. And you know, when I left Trinidad and come up here, I had more gray hair in my hair than ever. And when I see him now here, my hair started back turning grayer and grayer. But I love him still. I consider him my son because he reminds me of me, stubborn. Verse 3, your southern, and this is very, you know, explanatory. Your southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the border of Edom. Then your southern border shall extend eastward to the end of the Salt Sea. Well, who knows what the Salt Sea means? Dead Sea. Good. You guys are well versed, you know. Your border shall turn. Anyhow, we have anything extra to give the gentleman there? We could give him an extra donut when he finish. Your border shall turn from the southern side of the accent of the Arabin. Continue to Zin and be on the south at Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go to Hazar Adar and continue to Asmon. The border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea. So here it is. This is southern border where the land is. Now the Lord is dividing the land to give the inheritance, and we're going to see later on where the inheritance, how they. As for the western border, you shall have the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border. Hey, I don't know about you, but the western sea, I would love to be on that side. Every day, you know, you're getting that ocean breeze, and you know what I mean, and you're going and bathe, and you have your coconut trees, and so on. Oh, what a life. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea, you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. This is not the same Mount Hor that you see, that what happened with the death of Abraham and so on. This is a different part. From Mount Hor, you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath. Then the direction of the border shall be towards Zedad. The border shall proceed to Ziphron, and it shall end at Hazarian. And this shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Enan to Shipan. The border shall go down from Shipan to Ribla on the east side of Ain. The border shall go down to reach the eastern side of the Sea of Chinneret. So here it is how all these borders is divided. Now, these, mind you, this is like about 60 miles, you know, from Jerusalem. But in the Old Testament, the borders really extend, you know, from Dan throughout. So it's not just this little borders here that the children of Israel have gotten. The land that the children of Israel has inherited, up to now they have not used the entire land that they have. Why? Because of unbelief. Because they did not wipe out who? The Canaanites. What we see happening in Israel today, does Israel have a prime minister? Right now, Israel doesn't have a prime minister. Right now, they don't know if the prime minister will be indicted or not. Most likely, they're going to have a third election. And what is happening surrounding Israel today? What is happening with the Arab countries? War is taking place because they know Israel is weakened. But the Lord has promised Israel that they will never be defeated. The Lord promised them that they will get back their land. And they did get it back. So, no matter what they try to do, the people of Israel will live on. The people of Israel is protected by God Almighty. Like just as you guys, do you know that you are protected? Do you know that? What makes you so protected? Greater than he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. You are sealed. The Lord protects you. The Lord protects everyone who believes. And I don't mind throwing this a little bit on my brother here because I love him dearly. Brother, the Lord protect you. You could have been dead and gone, but the Lord have you alive for a reason. Because he protect you, he love you. Many people wouldn't last of what happened. I stand before you. I am a living testimony. I could have been dead and gone, but the Lord have me going on. Right now, many of you don't even know the kind of sickness that I'm going through. But I know the Lord have a purpose for me, and I would not allow that to be a hindrance until he take me away. And that's why I continue, you know, to press on. I would not allow any kind of issues to cause. Only if you take my legs away, my hands away. But Lord, don't take my mouth away. You see, God's covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, 7 to 21. God had warned that a time would come when he would punish the sinfulness of the Canaanites. God commands to Israel to eradicate the Canaanites from the land because of his mercy to Israel. You see, the Canaanites were allowed to live among God's people, the world. We had to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, that when the Lord commands us to do, he has given us a command. And one of the greatest commandments is to love God, love others. But also, it's found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. You know, that is one of the greatest commandments he has given us. It's only one command. You guys are coming through things in your life that you have testimonies to share with others, so that people would not get themselves involved in drugs. And you are the ones who could share your life experience so that people could see the Christ in you to cause others to believe in Jesus Christ and turn away from drugs. And that's the testimony that the Lord has given you. It is not for you, really, to help others. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that when I lost my daughter at 11 years old. She died from sickle cell disease. And it really hurt me because for 3 years, I grieve. I grieve. You know, we men, we grieve internally. And I grieve internally. My grieving was work. I used to work 16, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to get my mind off from, you know, losing her. And I didn't realize that the Lord was teaching me and showing me that you need to trust in me. And when I got a job selling timeshare, then I realized the importance of the testimony, because I started to, you know, to share my testimony among people who come before me about losing a child and the importance of spending, you know, time with family. I could not believe the amount of people went through the same experience that I went through. But I was able to comfort them through Jesus Christ. So you see, although, you know, I experience death, but I take that and use it as an opportunity to share the gospel and to help others, you know, what they're going through in their lives. I did it recently here with one of our members here. You know, she lost a son. I was able to comfort her, you know, to let her know I understand, because I went through the same thing. You know, so the Lord takes these things, your testimony, and it's not for you, it's for others, to comfort others in their time of need, you know, in the time of sorrow, in the times of the things that they go through, you know, in their lives. So, in verse 12, the border shall go down along the Jordan, and it shall end at the salt sea. This shall be your land with its surrounding boundaries. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half tribe of Manasseh has received its inheritance. The two tribes and a half shall receive their inheritance on the side of the Jordan, across from Jericho, eastwards towards the sunrise. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance. I'll stop there for a moment. Here it is, because, getting back, because they did not do what the Lord commanded to do, to wipe out the inhabitants of the Canaanites. What do you think happened to the children of Israel after? They were held in captivity. They were held in captivity, all the tribes, because of their disobedience. You see, that's why I talk about a thorn in your side. Drugs is a thorn on your side. Alcoholism is a thorn in your side. Homosexuality is a thorn on your side. Lesbianism is a thorn on your side. Hey, by the way, I shouldn't have said lesbianism because I don't see mostly men here. But things that is not of God is a thorn on your side. When we will get things right? When you fully submit to the will of Jesus Christ. Is that easy? Mm-mm. Now, I'll give you a little example, right? I have been saved since at the age of 21, which is 42 years ago, right? I was in the world at that time. If you ask me right now, it has certain calypsos that will play on the radio, and I will know it words, every word by word. Still here, still stored here. But the things of God now is overpowering the things of the world because I feed my mind on the things of God. The music that I listen to, the word that I read is all of God. Right? So yeah, what you're doing? In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies what? Living sacrifice. So you see, I presented my body as a living sacrifice for the things that is of God. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Am I in the will of God? Yes. And that's what he needs to do. Now, sometimes it's the simple little things. All you guys need to do is every day, just spend a few minutes with the Lord by yourself. And keep doing that. The more you do it, the more you train yourself. The more you train yourself, the more you train yourself, you'll find that you'll read the entire Bible in a year. But you're feeding your mind with the things of God. Just likewise, with humbleness. You're humble because you're reading about God's love to you and how he humbled himself. So now, your anger now will turn into humbleness. You'll get to realize, man, hey, I can't continue being angry. I can't continue to live in this life. Every little thing that, you know, piss me off, you know what I mean, that I get angry. No, you'll just say, Lord, if it's in your will, help me, Lord, to overcome the things that I am going through. See, that's training your mind. It's the simple little things, not the big things, you know. It's the simple little things that we need to do, you know, to walk daily, you know, with the Lord. It's not a big thing. You don't have to go and read 3 chapters a day. No, the little things. Just spend a few little minutes with the Lord and gradually it will increase. And the more it increases, the more you're going to see the love of Christ in you. You know, and that's what we need. And if you can't do it, if you're struggling to do it, get somebody. Get somebody that could help you and you could help them. Because we all need each other. You know that? Every one of us need each other. You don't have to run every little thing to Pastor Steve or Pastor Joe, you know. No, they, you know what will make their life much easier? That every single day that they go through without an incident or accident, and everybody doing what is required of them. Then they might say, oh gosh, something is going wrong here. Right, Joe? You might find it crazy if everybody do it like that, right? Yeah. But just try it. Don't make no resolutions, because anytime you make any resolutions for the new year, you're going to fail. Just do it. That's all you need to do. Just do it. In verse 18, and we will end. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for the inheritance. These are the names of the men from the tribe of Judah: Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; from the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud; from the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Chislon; a leader from the tribe of the children of Dan, Bushki, the son of Joli; from the sons of Joseph, a leader from the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Hamiel, the son of Ephod; and a leader from the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kenumil, the son of Shippatan; a leader from the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan, the son of Panak; a leader from the tribe of the children of Issachar, Patiel, the son of Azan; a leader from the tribe of the children of Azar, Ahudud, the son of Shilomi; and the leader of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedilil, the son of Ammihud; and the ones the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. You guys have an inheritance. Every one of us here tonight, we have an inheritance. You know who is that inheritance? It's not about land. It's not about wealth. Our inheritance is Jesus Christ. That's our inheritance. He has everything for us. He has offered us everything that we have. Look at your life here today. The Lord has provided for you. You have a shelter, you have a roof over your head, you have food to eat, you have all the comforts that you need, that he has provided for you. But he wants you to put your trust, your faith, and your love in him so that you could have that inheritance. And that inheritance, nobody could take that away from you. Nobody. That's a love. That's what you call true love. You know, I love each and every one of you. But that love is not like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves us in spite of who we are. And that love surpasses all understanding. So if tonight you're still contemplating on, I ain't sure, you know, Pastor. I'm really struggling in having a closer relationship with Christ. Just surrender. Say, Lord, I know I can't do it on my own, but I need you. I need you more and more, because it's only through you that could help me. And if you haven't had a relationship with him or you don't know him, now is the time. Tomorrow is not promised for none of us. None of us will know if we're going to live tomorrow. But one thing I know, if you give your life right now and you died in the next 5 minutes, you know you're going to heaven. And if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and raise your hands. If that's you, you'd want to make that change in your life. And if that's you, still struggling, you have backslid, and you want to come back and have a right relationship with Christ, now is the time. Just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your hands up. Sometimes, you know, I mean that we could raise our hands for a long time, right? But praise the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? You know, just examine your life. And I'll bring up my... You know, I was a wretch. I was a no good. And I needed a king. I was disobedient to God's command. And I needed a king. I used to be smoking dope, drinking rum, partying, but I needed a king. Now I found my king. That king I have found is Jesus Christ. And he's knocking at your door. Will you allow him to come in so that he could sup with you, or he could have a relationship with you tonight? For those of you who raise your hands, please stand so we could, all of us, we could just stretch out our hands, you know, facing them. Don't be ashamed. You put your hands up, stand up. And let that come from your heart about change. The change that you want to see that happen in your life. The change that you want Christ to be the center of everything that you do. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. Because you will face challenges in your life. But it's only through Christ can bring you through. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these two men, Lord, who stand up, Lord, for rededicating your lives or giving your lives to Christ. And Father, it's all about you, Lord. You know their needs, you know their wants, you know their desires. And Father, I pray, Lord, that tonight will be a new night in their lives, Lord. That the things that they want to change, that the change will come through you as they seek you faithfully and diligently for that change, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, let their heart, Lord, be subject to all the commands that you have given us, that you have placed in their lives, Lord. To know it's not about the drugs, it's not about lying, it's not about all these things. It's about saying, Lord Jesus, help me. I need you now, Lord. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me to be a good person. Help me to be someone who could walk that straight and narrow path to live my life for you each and every day. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Lord Jesus, I love you. And thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for my sins. Pray this in Jesus' name. And we all say, as a church, amen and amen.